We spend most of our waking hours at work, and in many workplaces, the majority of that time is spent staring at screens. One particular medium has come to dominate office communication: email. It's probably the first thing you check when you start your workday, and the last thing you do before you leave. It is the bane of the modern condition, and on that basis, it is here that we shall begin our study of digital etiquette. Things weren't always like this. Email has its roots way back before the internet as we know it, when American programmer Ray Tomlinson wrote some code that allowed users to send messages between computers on the ARPANET system, the precursor to today's internet, in the early 1970s. Tomlinson, who died in 2016, said he developed the system because it seemed like a neat idea, and maintained that the first emails he sent were so insignificant he had forgotten them. I'm sure we can all relate. It's undeniable that email has had a transformative effect on work culture. Without it, we'd never know the joy of working remotely, sharing ideas across continents, or passive-aggressively CCing the boss when dealing with an annoying colleague. But I think we can all agree that email is completely out of control. It no longer helps us do work. It is work. It may have freed us from the physical confines of the office, but mentally we can never leave. Email is distracting, time-consuming, and intensely stressful. This is where etiquette can help. The majority of the stress around email can be attributed to a lack of consensus on how to use it. How quickly must you respond to an email? How do you strike the right tone? And is there a law somewhere that says every message must begin, "Sorry for the late response"? Together, we shall dissect the ins and outs of proper email protocol, from subject line to sign off. We shall resolve once and for all when email is the correct medium to use, and consider alternative workplace communications, such as conference calls, instant messaging tools, and, steel yourself, LinkedIn. Once you're done with this chapter, just leave it lying conveniently open on the desk of that one person in the office who still hasn't got their head around the unwritten rules of reply all. Office email. The paradox of email is that it's simultaneously very convenient and utterly exhausting. It's often the most expedient way of getting things done, and yet it just seems to take up so much time. If you're feeling the crunch, you're not alone. In one study presented at a conference in 2016, researchers asked 40 office workers to wear a heart rate monitor for 12 days and log their computer use during this time. The workers checked their email an average of 77 times a day and spent almost an hour and a half dealing with it. Sure enough, their heart data showed that the longer they spent on email within a given hour, the more stressed they were during that time. And the longer they spent on email each day, the less productive they felt they had been. Given that email is such a universal horror, good email etiquette really revolves around one thing: reducing it as much as possible. A considerate emailer strives to take up as little of their recipient's time and energy as they can. They email only when strictly necessary and take pains to make their messages as easy to deal with as possible. A considerate emailer understands that the best email is the one they don't actually send. The life-changing magic of tidying up your inbox. Before you can even think about sending emails to other people, you need to get your own house in order. After all, you can't hope to reduce the greater burden of email on the world if your own inbox is a digital dumping ground that threatens to engulf you with the next ping of a notification. And if you're barely treading water in a quicksand of unread messages, you could easily miss the one you actually need to respond to. Do a quick internet search and you'll find that email management strategies are as abundant and diverse as fad diets, often with similarly unsatisfying results. There are entire self-help books dedicated to this topic, of which this is not one, so I'll cut to the chase and give you the only advice you need to bother with. Sound too good to be true? Let me introduce you to Inbox Zero. I am an Inbox Zero disciple. Those of us who have found inner inbox peace just can't stop ourselves from evangelizing on the matter in an effort to save other poor souls from email purgatory. In my job as a magazine editor, I once found myself having to entertain a famous sports star ahead of a photo shoot. These forced moments of interaction are always stilted, and the conversation soon petered out into awkward silence, until, "Have you heard about Inbox Zero?" I asked. He had not, but I think I converted him. So what is Inbox Zero? The term was coined by blogger, podcaster, and all-round productivity type Merlin Mann, who first laid out the strategy in several posts on his 43 Folders blog in 2006, and then in a Google Tech Talk in 2007. In these, Mann shares a simple way to triage your emails so they don't keep stacking up. Think of him like Japanese tidying up guru Marie Kondo, except he's helping declutter your inbox instead of your sock drawer. The driving idea of Inbox Zero is to keep your inbox empty by processing every email in some way as soon as you read it. A few clarifications before you have a panic attack. This does not mean processing every email as soon as it arrives, nor does it mean answering every email. The point is that when you choose to read an email, you should do something with it, so that it doesn't just keep haunting your inbox, making you feel guilty. If I had to sum it up in one phrase, I would say that if you can find the time to check email, you must also use that time to do something with that email, Mann tells me. Still not convinced? Follow these three simple steps to embark on your own life-changing journey.